This is the way the world could end.
Please, show some mercy.
With ice. With a kiss.
With venom. I probably should have mentioned this. I'm poison. Poison ivy.
And the only man who can stop them.
I freeze. I'm Batman.
Can't do it alone.
Batman will watch his beloved Gotham perish.
Bundle up, boys. There's a storm coming.
Kill the heroes!
It's a hockey team from hell.
Cool party.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right, everyone, chill.
George Clooney.
Julie, I'm not the marrying kind.
I know you've had your wild nights.
Good night. Wild doesn't quite cover it.
Chris O'Donnell.
I want a car. Chicks dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
Uma Thurman.
So many people to kill. So little time.
Alicia Silverstone.
And you are?
Batgirl.
That's not awfully PC. What about Batperson?
Found the Batcave.
She knows who we are.
Guess we'll just have to kill her.
Yep.
In a Joel Schumacher film. Strength. And courage.
Partners.
Honor.
Partners.
And loyalty.
Partners.
It all comes together.
We're going to need a bigger cave.
Batman and Robin.
Watching every feature film that stars a certain cape crusader. Batman! Batman! Yes, of course I'm watching the cartoon and all three Lego movies. Batman! Batman!
Sing it with me.
Batman! Batman! This is Big Screen Batman!
Oh, oops.
Oh, Batman.
It was either my sophomore or junior year of high school. I was taking chemistry. And we had a test, and I got a 7. Not 7 out of 10 or 7 out of 20. My grade was a 7%. Other people got 90s, 100. I got a 7. And I thought to myself, well, am I ever going to feel stupider than this moment? And God willing, it took a long time for me to feel more stupider than at that moment. I have to say, at the time, I was laughing my ass off in class, showing it off to people. But today I feel a new level of stupid. After watching this truly terrible movie, how bad is Batman and Robin? Well, it is so bad that to me, this is the highlight of the entire movie.
Gotham City for the ghetto, ghetto. Gotham City for the ghetto, ghetto. Yo, yo. Everybody's talking about the good old days, the good old days. Everybody's talking about the good old days. I remember when me and my brothers, we used to sit up on the porch.
Yes. Mr. Robert Kelly, also known as R. Kelly, producer, singer, rapper, kidnapper, abuser, kook. Apparently, he wrote a song for a Batman soundtrack that has nothing to do with Batman. It's talking about himself. No food on the table. I think he talks about barely owning a Cadillac. No shoes on my feet, and I just barely got a used Cadillac. There it is. I never knew this existed. This plays as part of the ending credits. And I think the only part that really has to do with Batman is the chorus. This remix and rearrange got them city of love. City of peace for every one of us. Gotham City, a city of love, a city of peace for everyone up above. I mean, first of all, those lyrics are garbage. Second of all, that's not Gotham City. Gotham City is dark, dank, and filled with criminals. Like super criminals that are out there to try to take over the city and quite possibly the world. We've come a long way from Bat Dance. If anything good comes out of it, it's 7 minutes that I haven't had to talk about this movie yet. But that just seems like the perfect song for the perfect movie, where the song is crap and the movie is a crap. But I'm gonna talk about it. 1997. This is June. It came out in June of 1997. I don't think I saw it opening night, but I'm pretty sure I saw it fairly early after its release. I don't think I was like jaded by Batman Forever as much as I may be now. But my goodness, Batman Forever is like, I mean, I miss it. After watching this, I am pretty positive that I went to this one. I was 21 years old, college kid, and I went with my future wife and our friends. It was a double date, and I think I'm going to guess I picked the movie. I said, hey, we should go see this. Probably wanted to be kind of cool, but secretly, I'm just like, I'm going to see a Batman movie. I can't wait. These friends now live in Georgia. I'm not saying that they moved because we dragged them to Batman and Robin, but I can't unequivocally confirm that that isn't the reason that they moved. I don't even know what to think. And I could be completely wrong. I could have gone to see this with my brother. And it was Batman Forever I saw with my friends. Memories are fleeting. We don't have everything. We didn't have everything recorded in the 70s. Well, yeah, in the 90s. We didn't have photos of every moment and posts of everything. Otherwise, I'd know for sure. And we didn't tag every movie and chart, and there's an app to watch every show, and for every TV show I watch, I click this thing, and I'm a giant nerd, and I would have done it, but we didn't do it then, so my memory could be off. However, one thing remains. I'm almost positive I haven't seen this movie all the way through since 1997. I probably watched glimpses of it here and there. My God, And luckily I didn't watch it all the way through in one sitting. Like, my dog had to get up and go out at one point, which I was so grateful. I kept telling, you should drink some water, drink a little more water, because I really wanted her to go out and just give me a break from this thing. I did take some notes throughout. I think I turned them, I took them late, but I had some thoughts, so I wrote them all down as I go through them. But Val Kilmer's gone. No longer Mr. Batman. Now we have ER and Facts of Life star George Clooney. He is hot off of ER. In fact, he's still on ER at this point. But he's becoming a big star. But he's not a big, huge movie star yet. Like, if you don't watch ER, you don't know this guy all that well. Except, you know, this was like, he was becoming a huge, like, celebrity. He just wasn't a movie star yet. So he was everywhere on covers of magazines and all these things back when magazines were a thing. So you couldn't avoid him completely. But I have to say that George Clooney as Batman is probably the best part of this movie. I saw an interview with him where he said that he thought he killed Batman. And he did kill Batman for a while, but he didn't. Joel Schumacher did, and there's no doubt in my mind he did. And in fact, he's even said that, you know, like he knows that he did bad. Like, he knows he didn't do a good job. I saw some quote somewhere exactly. And it didn't surprise me that this was a bomb at the box office. Like, it, I don't think it made its money back. I think it had a huge budget, and it like, maybe if you consider all the marketing, I think it did not make its money back. In fact, this was 1997. You had to wait 8 years to get another Batman movie. Think about it. You had to wait 8 years for a new Batman movie when this was the fourth Batman movie in an 8 year span. You know, 89, 92, 95, 97. In fact, what was it? 89, 92? Was it 92, right? So it was going 3 years, 3 years, and then they rushed to get 2 years. They're like, we got Clooney, hurry up. And we got Schwarzenegger. And it's like, Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1997 was still a huge deal. I don't know what else he was doing at this time, but this might have been like, okay, he did Junior at this point. This might have been right at the Jingle All the Way. I don't know exactly, but they said, okay, we're going to paint you silver and you're going to play it serious. And he's like, oh, I want to do puns. Can I do puns? And he's like, in high school, they called me Rapunzel because I do puns. That's what I wrote down. I go, they didn't give Arnold enough puns in this. All he did was speak in puns. It was like, you know, Arnold has these quip one-liners, but in this, it was just like, okay, you're just going to have one-liners throughout the entire movie. So let's talk about the stars of the movie. As I said, George Clooney is now the new Batman. Chris O'Donnell returns as Robin. He's a bit of a prick. We have Alicia Silverstone joining as Barbara, but not Barbara Gordon. Just Barbara. Alfred's niece. Not grandniece. Niece. I'm going to talk about that. I took some notes. She becomes Batgirl because, you know, she wants to be Batgirl, so now she's Batgirl. Then we have as the villains, Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. And, geez, you think, wow, big stars like Uma Thurman and Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Clooney and Joel Schumacher's back, and they said, let's make it bigger and brighter. You know, Batman Forever was just a little too low-key. We got to liven it up a bit. Not enough fluorescence. Not enough giant statues of men holding giant white balls. I don't even know what that was. It was like, at one point you see these giant arms coming out, and there's this thing like this like man statue holding giant white balls. I don't know if they're lights. I don't know what they were, but it was weird. Like even the planetarium that played way too much of a part in this movie was like held up by, I was trying to figure out, how do people climb up this thing? It looked like it was just held up by two arms. Very weird production value. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, at least in these movies. Now, I saw Joel Schumacher, which isn't his name, Joel Schumacher. I mean, he directed movies that had action in them. But for some reason, I mean, this has to be it. This has to be the explanation. We're making a comic book movie. We're going to bring a comic book to life. And his idea of comic books are bright and silly. And he's probably thinking of the 66 show. Like, if you thought of just the 66 show, and then this was the first Batman you saw, you'd think, oh, wow, they basically took that show and made a big, giant Hollywood spectacle of it. But the fact that this is somehow in the same world that the Burton movies are is mind-boggling. And really, the only thing that brings this together is the... Pat Hingle's Commissioner Gordon and Michael Goff's Alfred. So we got Alfred and we got Commissioner Gordon, and then that's it. Then it's just a whole new world. I mean, everything's different. The Batmobile is different. The suits are different. And okay, the suits will change and the suits can change. That's fine. But it was just... I don't know. It's just the fact that this is in the same world. So I'm just going to go through some of my notes, and that'll probably spark some discussion in my head. Too campy, terrible action. The wire work makes things look fake. So like Batman would come in and he'd float a little too weird, or Robin would jump a motorcycle and it would just float weirdly in the air. At some point, Mr. Freeze like grabbed a vine and he swung up somehow. Like it was very strange. I also wrote, okay, so the Mr. Freeze stuff. So Mr. Freeze already is Mr. Freeze. He's already a bad guy. He's already this is literally the formula from the last movie. He's already a bad guy. He's already doing stuff. He's already stealing things. And we see through some footage how he became Mr. Freeze. He fell in like a vat of cold liquid, and... he was trying to find a cure to his wife's disease, and he fell in this liquid somehow. They didn't really say what it was, I think. I don't think they really said why he fell in. And after he fell in, he got angry and became a mad man, I guess. But he has to wear the suit to keep his body at a core temperature, otherwise he will die. So he's already, and that's basically Two-Face. We saw Two-Face was already established. And was it right away that they went and there was like ice skating and Batman and Robin? Batman and Robin put on their suits. We get real close-ups of the codpiece and the ass. I don't remember seeing the nipple, but I remember it being much discussed. And then the thing that was weird. Now, I understand the... Batman 66 show would be like he had everything he needed, like shark repellent spray or anything he needed. But at one point, Batman and Robin at the same time tap their feet together and ice skates pop out so that they can skate with the with Mr. Freeze's henchmen. And that happened. They had ice skates and they skated, and the ice skates were built into the suits. I mean, how much does that come up that they needed to, like, I can just picture like Christian Bale going to Lucius Fox and be like, you know, I couldn't get to them. If there was just some way that I could have moved faster on the ice, I would have gotten to him. I could just, and then Lucius Fox be like, I can't do a Morgan Freeman. So that was it. I can't do a Christian Bale either, but I'm not going to try to do a Morgan Freeman. All right. So I actually took notes out of order because I wrote, rubber lips are immune to your charms. I wrote that. That's pretty early. So once they realize what Poison Ivy's doing, that her kisses could be poisonous, their way to get around it is to put rubber lips over their lips. So when she kisses them, they don't, she doesn't give the poison. But what if, like, you know, she slips a little tongue? I mean, I don't understand. This movie was meant to be, to me, this movie is a farce, in farcical. In other words, it's supposed to be this giant, campy, farcical, fun roller coaster ride, which is not what we had in the originals, the original two. There is some camp, but it wasn't like, it was just a different aesthetic. But this time it's like, we're going full bonkers. We're going to go like crazy. But the problem is the execution was shit. I also, okay, my note, Poison Ivy just turns into Poison Ivy. So I don't, Uma Thurman, now we have the exactly, almost to a T, Uma Thurman like Edward Nygma. So we got Jim Carrey, who's you know, something happens. He ends up killing his boss, and he turns himself into the Riddler. So that's a little different, but it's the same thing. Where now this is someone we see before they become their arch villain personality, and we have one that's already established. So, this time she is in South America. She is a botanist working for a scientist, and she's talking about the creation she has that I think is supposed to help for, she's using it for plants, and for some reason she's calling it venom. That's dumb. And because I don't think that's what happened, right? And she works for John Glover, who, come on, John Glover, I fell in love with him as Lionel Luthor on Smallville. Obviously, I saw him in this first. I saw him in Gremlins 2 first. And, you know, he's always fun. Even in this, he's fun, but it's just dumb. He is playing a mad scientist who's using her formula to take prisoners and try to create super soldiers out of them. So he takes this one guy and he uses this venom with different mixes of steroids and whatnot, and turns him into a giant super soldier. He puts a wrestling mask over his head, and boom, I call him Bane, the Bane of humanity. And he's there to sell to the highest bidder. You want more of these? You want to make your own super soldiers? He's basically selling them to dictators, terrorists, anything like that, world leaders, I don't know, in his giant, you know, fluorescent workshop. And he, while he's doing this, right in the next room, Uma Thurman is working on her stuff. So she goes and visits him, and she's like, "You're making super soldiers. This isn't right. I'm going to turn you in." And he's like, "Oh, then you have to die." Again, which also kind of goes back. Then that reminded me of Max Schreck and Catwoman. He pushes her over, because that's what you do in Batman movies. And then he pushes this table of chemicals over her. And he's like, "Yes, have all the acids and poisons eat through her." And so she, like, it somehow it makes a hole in the ground, and she sinks into the ground, and you think she's dead. But no, she's not dead. She is transformed into a 40s movie star. She comes out of the earth just like this, completely now in the Poison Ivy persona. Now, she doesn't have the outfit yet, but she's like, "Hey there, good looking. Why don't you come up and see me sometime?" Like, she's already has this different way of talking. And out of nowhere. And she knows that she can now control plants. I guess she can control plants, or she has these seeds and pheromones she can do. And she's like, oh, yeah, because she's like, my lips are poisoned. And he's like, yeah, baby. She kisses him. He dies. So now she's poison ivy, just like that. So she goes and gets a green suit, and now she's poison ivy. But she looks at one of her beakers, and she's like, Wayne Enterprises, huh? We're going to have to get on a plane. Come on, Bane. And from now on, that super soldier that the doctor created is her assistant. Bane now works for Poison Ivy. That's it. That's how you set things up. That is dumb. I wrote, so dumb, Clooney is not even close to the problem. This is just little notes. Chris O'Donnell is very lucky to have a career after this. He's not very good. I didn't think he was very good in this. Maybe
just because he whines so much.
He's like, I'm going to go out on my own. But like at one point, like they're driving on a statue, which is stupid. And Batman's like, slow down on your motorcycle. I don't want you to get hurt. While they're driving down a statue, all of a sudden he wants him to slow down. And he's like, no. And he disables the motor, which makes Robin slide along and almost die anyway. And then Batman takes off after Mr. Freeze. And Robin looks up and he goes, nah! And I was like, oh, that is bad. That's my note there. Clooney, I said he's very lucky to have VR. This could have crippled him. But I said, I don't think Val Kilmer would have been able to do this movie. I don't think he would have been as good in this. I'm picturing Val Kilmer doing the exact same things. And Clooney's just a better actor. So Clooney's like bedside manner with Alfred. I don't know if I can't see Val Kilmer doing that stuff. Elle McPherson's there. Yep, that's it. I said, I wish they'd let Mr. Freeze do more cold puns. Sure, yeah, that. I wrote down, Alicia Silverstone is a marginal actress at best, or maybe it's just this movie. It could be that this movie is just painting everyone in a bad light. But, you know, besides the character choices, Uma Thurman and Arnold Schwarzenegger are acting fine. They're doing okay jobs. They're just over the top, campy, hammy, silly, goofy, and I don't like it. But they can perform. Like, they're performing. They're working. Where Alicia Silverstone, I don't know, she's just like, hey, there, Uncle Alfred. And, you know, right away it's like, hey, when she shows up and Chris O'Donnell's like, hey, I hope you're here for me. He should have grabbed his collar and went, nong, nong, nong. Okay. She is, I'm going to guess, in the movie, 18 years old. That's going to be my guess as far as what the age of the actress is, or the character is supposed to be. Alfred is 206, I believe. Or let's say Alfred's 75, okay? We'll say 75. So at one point, she goes in to see Uncle Alfred. Now, I have uncles and aunts that are my mother's uncles and aunts, and I call them aunt and uncle. That's just your great aunts, great uncles. That's not what's going on here. So at one point, she goes in and Alfred starts telling her about his brother Wilfred. Now, it's Wilfred Alfred. I bet in the comic books this is a thing. I have no idea if Wilfred Pennyworth. I'm gonna actually look it up. Wilfred Pennyworth. Wilfred Pennyworth was the oldest brother of Alfred Pennyworth, and yes, I had a feeling he was around. He's been in comic books. Okay. His first appearance was in 1969. Actually, his only appearance looks like it was 1969. Okay, so there is a connection here, but I don't know. Just seeing it on the screen and seeing that Wilfred is a butler for someone in India, I think it was. So apparently the Pennyworths are a family of butlers. They enjoy butling. And I wonder if anyone's watched that Pennyworth show. I think it's on Epics or Stars. I have been meaning to check that out. I've heard, well, it's the same people who did Gotham, and I really liked Gotham. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But yes, a family of butlers. But anyway, he also looks at this photo of this woman. It looks like it was like the photo was taken in like 1956, right? And it's like an older woman. I mean, it's not a kid. I mean, it's a woman that's at least in her 30s there in this photo. And she's like, oh, that's a picture of my mother. So I understand that Burton loved to do timeless, but this movie is anything but timeless as far as I'm concerned. This movie's very 90s. And that would mean that she had this kid in the 80s, and I'm going to guess she's a couple years younger than Alfred. So she probably had Barbara when she was 50, I'm guessing. And it was a miracle birth. And they were so excited that they brought her someplace and went for a drive, and then they crashed and died. I'm just guessing. But she had to be really old, because then she named her daughter Barbara. And that name is also pretty antiquated. I don't know how many people, how many Barbaras there are. Again, this is the 90s, so she was born, if this was 97, she was probably born in, we'll say, 79. Maybe Barbara was still a thing. I never went to school with any Barbaras. But yeah, like, it was just weird in the time of the whatever the photo was. It just didn't seem right. Later on in the movie, okay, so I have a couple of different notes here. What else I got here? Oh, okay. So just sticking with Barbara. She knows her uncle is sick. And it turns out that the uncle has McGregor syndrome, which I'm sure the name means something. But it's also the same thing that Mr. Freeze's wife has. Oh, plot point. At one point, you know, Alfred's typing something into a computer, and he records this little note, and he's like, Wilfred, I hope this gets to you in time. And he quickly saves it onto a CD. Now, today, you couldn't quickly save something on a CD in 2020. Back then, it would have taken probably 25 to 45 minutes for that CD to write, you know, to write to that CD. But he did it instantaneously. But you never know, because Batcave computers, and Batman has the best money, even though that computer had a tiny screen. He saved all these things to a disc, and he says to Barbara, I want you to deliver this to your Uncle Wilfred. I want you to somehow find this and get this to him. It's imperative it gets to him. And please do not open it and do not read it. So what does she do? She gets out of the room. He's like, I'm sick. He goes, lies down. She's like, I'm going to check your computer, and I'm going to go through everything you told me not to do. And for some reason, the screen on this computer reflects a perfect reflection on her face. It projects like a projector. So all the schematics for the Batmobile, the Batcave, the Batsuits, and the Bat, for some reason, it ends with the Batman and Robin logos for marketing purposes. So if anyone finds this, you know, they can figure it out pretty easy by a terrible password that Alfred had. And now Barbara knows everything about everything. And what's the password? Well, Barbara's mother is Margaret, but photo was signed Love Peg or something. Barbara was like, Peg? Like, I guess I was older when I realized that my Aunt Peg was actually Margaret. I had no idea that Peg is like a nickname for Margaret. I don't know. I have no idea why it is. I just know that it is. And you think if it's your mother, other people might have called her Peggy or Peg at some point. But again, I'm not sure how old she was when they died. She didn't really care. She's like, yeah, they died in a car accident when I was young. Alfred basically took care of me, which means Bruce Wayne took care of you. Okay. She has a little bit of the Robin bug in her. Like, she likes to take the motorcycles out. But I feel it was a weird thing where, if I'm wrong, she takes the motorcycle out one night, okay? And then she brings the motorcycle home and Chris O'Donnell finds her. But in that time frame, I think a whole day goes by. I feel like there was a scene with sunshine and then darkness. So I don't know if it's just she's been doing it every night and he caught her this time. It was a weird, they didn't establish it. It was weird. It was poorly done, much like many things in this movie. But she actually goes like, hi-ya, to fight him off because she didn't know who was attacking him. And she's like, oh, I'd just like to take her out for a drive. No big deal, no big deal. Let's see, what else do I have here? I wrote, Uma is having fun, but the way she became a 40s movie star actress is weird. Yeah, that is weird. Okay, so I told you that Barbara Batgirl finds the schematics. So what does she do? She goes right down to the Batcave and she sees everything, and all of a sudden it's intruder, intruder. And for some reason, the intruder alarm is Alfred's face, and it is they have the finest computers in the world, and yet it blips like Max Headroom. He's like, I'm Alfred, bloop, 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 like Max Headroom. It was dumb. And this was like, I am Alfred's consciousness. I've transferred it here. He's like, it's me, Barbara. For some reason, she talked to the computer thinking he would talk back. And guess what? It did. He's like, I thought you'd be down here, girl. She goes, I want to help. I thought you'd say that. So I had a suit made for you. She goes, suit, let's suit up, Alfred. Just like that. Now I'm Batgirl. I found the suit. I found the cave. Alfred was ready for me. Alfred's been making suits behind Bruce's back, and Bruce had no idea. He did it for Robin last time, and now he's done it again for Barbara. So now she's Batgirl because he made a suit. If I get a suit, can I be a superhero? Is that all it takes? She shows up. The way she shows up, she crashes through a skylight. So at one point they're fighting Poison Ivy. This was after the rubber lips. And they need to also stop Mr. Freeze because he's angry. He thinks that Batman killed his wife, like turned off the life support, when it was Poison Ivy who did that. Even though, so she returns with the necklace and she's like, look, Bruce Wayne killed your wife. I was too late. So now he wants to kill the entire world. Meaning he wants to freeze the whole world. And she wants to start over. They're going to be Adam and evil. Another pun. But while they go there to fight her, out of nowhere, on the roof of this building, because the computer can tell her where they are. That's fine. Batgirl crashes through the skylight, drops about, I'm going to say roughly 50 to 80 feet, lands on her feet, no problem. Just like, I'm here, and starts fighting Poison Ivy. And she's like, much like Freeze's wife, I'm the only lady that should be around here. That's why I got her out of the picture, see? Which, of course, was recorded and shown to Mr. Freeze later to prove that Batman didn't kill her. And she's like, I don't think so, basically. And she's talking about her, like she's talking, and Poison Ivy just sitting there letting her talk while they're fighting. And then at one point, like they're kicking each other, hi-ya, hi-ya. She hits Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy falls back onto her plant that she was sitting on. This was like her throne, and the plant closed up and ate her. What the F was that? The plant just closed up and ate her, and she was done for. Her own plant ate her. Her throne, her chair, ate her. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't like it. And that's it. Next time we see her, she's in Arkham Asylum. Now, at the same time, there is this, Batman's like, looks like we've got company. And now let me tell you something. Alicia Silverstone's been staying in their house for at least a few days, if not longer. She's got, like, you know, you can't really disguise her hair. Let's put it this way. If you know her and you look at her, then you go, oh, there she is wearing a mask. Even if she's got like a hood on, maybe that would cover things up a little. But her hair is her hair. She doesn't have any bat thing going on right now. She just has this little eye mask, much like Robin. His hair showing, his head showing. And she goes, Bruce, it's me, Barbara. And they were like, he was like, what are you, what? Like, he didn't know that this was Alicia Silverstone. This was Barbara Pennyworth, or whatever the hell her name is. The mask worked to the point where Batman couldn't recognize her. Very, very dumb. And then she's like, I'm here to help. The more the merrier, I'm helping. And just like that, she's Batgirl now. And she goes off to help them. They go to this telescope. Now, this telescope, it was like a big thing in the movie. Like, they're donating. I don't even know what the hell they're doing. But the telescope is this cool thing where you can see pretty much anywhere on the planet based on mirrors. So there are satellites all over the world that have mirrors on them that are bouncing signals or bouncing visuals, or I guess you could, you won't have to get the planet in the way, so you can always check the stars. I don't know. It's dumb. But the same telescope, I believe Mr. Freeze uses to turn into a giant freeze ray using the mirrors. The same telescope that I believe then Batman uses to turn into a giant sun ray. They find that where it is sunny, and they have the sun bounce off these mirrors all the way to Gotham. You think that would burn things up, but no, it worked fine. And they shot the sun rays at these people and that were frozen, and they perfectly were thawed out, melted, and saved. Anyone else miss the R. Kelly song besides me at all? Like, I can't believe I've even talked this long. I was like, well, I'll talk for 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, that'll be enough. But now I've gone for almost 40 minutes of just me talking. Never mind all the other things. Yada, yada, yada. So they save Mr. Freeze. So basically, they finally save everybody, fix Mr. Freeze. And he's like, why don't you kill me like you killed my wife? I don't know why. I'm French. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's like, I didn't kill your wife, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then he showed the video, the perfectly edited video of the same angle we saw Uma Thurman say it, just like, you know, he got a hold of the dailies. And then he's like, but we found her. She's still alive. He's like, oh, she's still alive. Yeah, she's still alive. And we're going to move her to Arkham. And you're going to work on her. You're going to be able to continue to work on her while you're there if you help me, because you said you have a cure for stage 1 McGregor syndrome. And I know someone who has that. And he takes these two vials out of his wrist and he goes, and he's like, one more pun. Like, okay, I guess so. Take two of these and call me in the morning. And he didn't give any instructions on, like, put them in the IV. I thought Alfred had to drink them, take one a day, nothing. Just, you know, just hear these two things. So Bruce goes home and clips it up to Alfred's IV. And guess what? Alfred's saved. And I wrote down this note. Wait, Alfred didn't die? I could have sworn that he died in this movie. I could have sworn. In fact, I think I said in previous, you know, big screen Batman episodes that, well, at least he got to die in Batman and Robin. He did not. And in fact, he was doing great at the end. Now, Uma's in, Poison Ivy is in Arkham Asylum. Mr. Freeze is in Arkham Asylum. And for some reason, they're cellmates. They're like, we are cellmates. And like, nobody there goes, you know, she tried to kill his wife. Oh, we should make them cellmates. again, that it didn't make any sense. I don't understand why that would happen, but it did. And then the movie ends with they're all, you know, waiting for Alfred to get better. He comes up. He's like, "I'm better, Master Bruce. This place is shit. You need to clean it up." And finally, they all decide that Batgirl is staying. They're a team of three now. They put their hands in together. Team, team, team. And Alfred's like, "We're going to need a bigger cave." And then at the end, they have another silhouette of the bat signal and the three of them running off, running towards the camera. And that's how Batman and Robin ends. This was definitely going to be part of like a trilogy, like the Schumacher trilogy, right? I mean, they would have given us a third one. Who knows what they would have done this time? Probably the Scarecrow, and it probably would have been like, "If I only had a brain," and he danced around. But the way this ended, "We're going to need a bigger cave," I was like, oh, they're going to set up for a sequel that never happens because this movie tanks and it almost kills superhero movies, it seems like. You know, thank God for Christopher Nolan. As much as he hates HBO Max right now, I'm happy that the next movie I get to watch on HBO Max is his movie. But that is 8 years later. 8 years later after this movie killed things. At one point they go to the bat signal and Bane picks up the bat signal and goes, "Ah," and picks it up a little higher. And Poison Ivy's like, "Yes, yes." All he did was like move it up 3 feet. I don't know what the hell was going on there. So, look, Batman villains are over the top already. They just are. Comic book villains in general can be over the top, but the Batman ones are like very theatric. And these two are big time, you know, over the top. But there are better ways to do it. I think of Poison Ivy. Gotham did Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze, but still had it almost, not quite in the Nolanverse, but like in a mix of Nolan and Burton, a little grittier, a little more, you know, down to earth, as real life as you possibly could get. And Christopher Nolan does these things where he takes these characters like, okay, but how would it be in the real world? How would this work in the real world? Where this is like we're in a completely, you know, bonkers universe here. But also, and then you just want to say bonkers. Poison Ivy on the Harley Quinn cartoon. It was a DC original, DC universe, but now it's on HBO Max. Also, 1,000,000,000 times better. Like, really enjoyable on that. And she's got powers where if you get her near, like, a blade of grass, she can, like, create amazing things and have great powers. And I enjoy that. That TV show's fun and funny. It is both fun and funny. This was neither. This was Batman and Robin, but I feel like I've come out of a fog. I was looking forward to revisiting some of these things, some of these movies. I couldn't wait to watch 89 again. I couldn't wait to watch Batman and Returns again. Even Batman Forever, I was semi-looking forward to. This one, I was like, how bad is it? Is it as bad as I remember? And the answer is, it is worse. It is worse than I remember. I think I liked this when I first saw it. I remember saying, well, Schwarzenegger was good. He was good. He was good. And I'll even say he really wasn't that terrible. But the goofiness around him was just awful. And if my buddy Dave is listening, I could not mention the effing bat credit card. He texted a picture of that to me like a couple weeks ago, don't leave home without it. That joke means absolutely nothing nowadays. I don't think that's even said. Like, you don't see commercials for American Express like that anymore, do you? that was such a big thing in the 80s. And not as big in the 90s and almost nothing now. That's like when you watch those stupid, you know, those, not those parody movies that are terrible, like disaster movie or vampire movie. And they have these references that are so like of that moment that they don't even make. They're not like classic references or evergreen references. They're just like, hey, look at this. This is a reference to, you know, Britney Spears from 1993. What? That's what that reminded me of with this Don't Leave Home Without It. You know, that was in a skit, a joke, or even Batman 89. That would have been, well, it would have been odd to be in that, but it would have been at least more timely. That is definitely something that Adam West would have said, and it makes sense. And that's almost, that's what this movie intended to be, a big screen Adam West episode with a huge budget. And it did it, and it did it in a spectacularly bad way. I'm not sure. I've said in the past that I'm never going to watch the Star Wars prequels again, but that's a lie. I'm going to. But I'm almost positive that I will never watch this movie again. And if I do watch it, I'm going to fast forward right to the end credits so I can hear this one more time.
Gotham City for the ghetto, ghetto. Gotham City for the ghetto, ghetto.
Yo, thank you so much for listening and subscribing to Geek Mentality, a podcast that this past year I've done more than I've done in any years past. You know, it's a podcast of short little projects that will take either a month or 2 months. We got Movie Month in June. We had Joggest in August. We got Big Screen Batman going on right now, and coming up in March, we have Marchy McFly coming. I think you know what that means. So, if you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram, but mostly on Twitter, at Geek Mentality. The website is fansnotexperts.com. The Facebook page is fansnotexperts. We don't do a lot there, but if you could throw us a like, that'd be nice. And yeah, that's it. The podcast, as I said, is Geek Mentality. And why do I know that? Well, because that's what I call it in my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Because I'm kind of funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kind of handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.